Isaac strikes Louisiana.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Hurricane Isaac is moving inland this morning after making landfall in Louisiana, and here are the numbers so far. More than 300,000 customers are without power, more than 1,000 flights have been canceled, and the worst could be yet to come as the storm heads toward New Orleans, where winds could be as strong as 100 miles per hour. The city's mayor, Mitch Landrieu, says all emergency workers are on duty because of the storm.
We have the assets and the personnel in place to secure the city, number one, for safety reasons, number two, to protect you, and number three, to begin to prepare for search and rescue.
The oil markets are also watching Isaac, which has shut down production around the Gulf of Mexico. But so far, there has not been a spike in oil prices because of the storm. Well, this Friday, central bankers from around the world will gather in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to hear Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke talk about what the Fed can and might do to help the economy. And there are differing views about whether the Fed should do something. A couple weeks back, I spoke with one of the Fed's so-called doves who told us there should be more monetary stimulus. Today, we're joined by one of the Fed's hawks, Jeffrey Lacker, who heads the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, how would you describe the U.S. economy right now?
The economy is expanding, but it's been expanding at a disappointingly slow pace. It's something that's been a matter of frustration for a lot of us. There's several reasons for this. I think we built too many homes before the recession, so we're lacking the usual rebound in home construction we usually see. Consumers have been quite cautious of late. Uncertainty about how the fiscal situation is going to be resolved in Washington, I think, is making it hard to plan, hard to figure out the rate of return on potential projects. And I think that's keeping a lot of people on the sideline. And finally, there seems to be a problem in the labor market. It doesn't seem to be as effective as it usually is at matching unemployed workers with vacant jobs.
Well, a lot of your colleagues look at that situation and they say it's time for the Fed to do more monetary stimulus. So do you agree with that?
I don't think we can increase growth much now without increasing inflation through monetary policy. And even then, I think the effect on growth is likely to be small and temporary. Inflation's under control right now. It's right where we want it, around 2%. Our job is to keep it that way. We would not be successful if we were to wait till it got a little bit out of control and then brought it back under control, because it would require a lot of hardship for American families for us to get inflation back down after it had risen too far.
But isn't it also your job to keep unemployment down, right? I mean, you want to keep full employment, and that obviously is out of control right now.
The Fed can't control unemployment. Unemployment is high now relative to its long-run averages, but the economy's been hit by some really tremendously powerful shocks over the last couple of years, and that's what's keeping unemployment high. It's just been difficult to bring down. We need to be patient. It's a long, costly process.
As you and your colleagues at the Fed go through the decision-making process that you have to go through and have had to go through the last few years, does it feel like a situation that we've been in before? Can you look back to precedent, or does it feel like every day is just – it's a brand new thing and you're not exactly sure how your decisions are going to play out in the economy?
So the fact that we've got interest rates at zero is novel. We haven't had them here since the 30s. And so that makes it a bit difficult. In addition, just what the real economy is going through is different. We have new technologies, new industries that didn't exist decades ago. So, yeah, it's always a bit of the same old business cycle, but a bit new too, a bit novel as well.
And do you see the light at the end of the tunnel as a moment when America is again really just a shining economy for the rest of the world?
I think that's coming. It may take many years. It may be just a year or two away. And I certainly hope it's sooner rather than later. But I remain confident that the long-term prospects for our economy are good. The fundamentals are there. The innovation, the flexibility and resilience of our markets, the educated workforce we have. Tricky is unleashing all that potential.
Jeffrey Lacker, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.4% in Tokyo, but down 0.5% right now in London. The online radio company Pandora will report earnings today and is expected to report a sharp rise in listenership with about 55 million users in the second quarter. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 21 points to close at 13,102.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
United Airlines passengers are crossing their fingers this morning, hoping that the reservation system meltdown that delayed hundreds of flights yesterday does not repeat itself. The computer glitch is being blamed on the airline's merger with Continental, as Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
United's technical team is scrambling to solve the computer problems that caused airport lines hundreds of angry people deep. Airline analyst Julius Maldutis says big problems are typical in big acquisitions.
Mergers in the airline industry have never worked except in very rare cases. So it's not that surprising that United Airlines is experiencing some operational problems.
Mergers are supposed to cut costs by allowing companies to combine systems, reducing redundancy in corporate speak. Having one computer system for the combined airline is cheaper in theory, but it has proven more expensive with all the delays and passenger fury. Maldutis says the troubles aren't over yet for passengers because integrating two big airlines doesn't happen fast.
Typically, it takes about 4 years.
And there could be more turbulence ahead for all carriers, depending on what oil prices do. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And finally, what do you get when you make a taco using Doritos? A whole lot of money, according to Taco Bell, whose new Doritos Locos Taco is the most successful new product in the chain's 50-year history. 200 million have been sold since the taco went on sale in March. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.